It is said that when he passed into eternity, his last words on his lips were, "The best of all, God is with us." And what I propose to you tonight is not only that we remember that when we pass from this life, but that we not only have it on our lips, but that we believe it and live it in our hearts. And as I've welcomed you, just one other, I want to also bring you greetings from people that you perhaps and most likely will never meet in this life. And that is some brothers and sisters that our church is partnering with in West Africa to bring fresh water to a village that does not have access to clean and fresh water. If you notice the water pump that's up here, there's a bucket in it. We've been every Sunday during Advent, we collect money, and then that money is going to go to Living Waters International, and it's going to bring some fresh water to a village in one of six countries in West Africa. If you would like to contribute to that after the service, you're welcome to come put it in the bucket. It's certainly not a requirement, but a lot of times people say, well, we have a service and no offering. We have no offering, but if you would like to give a gift to some people that you'll only meet perhaps in heaven, we would invite you to do that. I'd invite you now to stand as we worship the Lord and dawn comes to lead us in our singing. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us.
I've chosen three passages of Scripture tonight to share with you some of my favorite Scriptures having to deal with the topic that of my part of the service tonight, that Jesus was God in the flesh, and God was with us, not just a mortal man. I'd like to start by reading out of the 9th chapter of Isaiah, one that's very familiar to you probably tonight, but this particular evening, this passage of Scripture has so much meaning for those of us who are believers. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their gladness, and they will be glad in thy presence. As the glories of the harvest and the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor, as is at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle turmoiled, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isaiah penned these words 700 years before the Messiah was born. All through ancient world and Jewish history, God spoke to the world, proclaiming that a day would come when he would send a Savior into the world, a Messiah, Mashiach, Meshuah, would be his name. And that Savior would save mankind from their sins and break the satanic yoke of slavery that was on the back of mankind ever since the third chapter of Genesis and the fall of man. And one chilly, clear fall night in Bethlehem of Judea, in a manger of all places, God opened his eyes. And he breathed the air of this vile planet, and he smelt the stench of sin. And every prophecy having to do with the birth of the Messiah came to pass in a matter of minutes. Emmanuel, God was with us. The baby grew up, and through his childhood, he helped his adopted father with his carpentry business. But the thing that Jesus of Nazareth enjoyed the most as a small boy was going into the temple and debating the scriptures with the religious leaders of his day. Hard to believe a small boy would be interested in doing something like that, isn't it? At the age of 30, he began his ministry as a young rabbi. And according to Jewish custom, he chose 12 followers called disciples. And he was to teach them everything he knew about the kingdom of God and to train them in ministry as well. It didn't take his disciples very long to find out that their rabbi was no ordinary rabbi. At a wedding feast of Canaan in Galilee, Jesus attended there, and in the middle of the feast, they ran out of wine. And he told the servants, bring every empty container you can find and fill it with water. And they did, and when they were done, something absolutely marvelous occurred. He turned the water into wine. The very first of his signs that would follow his ministry that explained to mankind that he really was God with us. This was the first of his signs. And prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and many of the Old Testament prophets prophesied that those signs would follow the ministry of the Messiah, and his life and his ministry absolutely mirrored what Isaiah said about him in chapter 9. The lame walked, and the blind received their sight. The lepers were cleansed. He cast out demons. He walked on the water, and he even raised the dead. And he rose from the dead himself after he was murdered, proving once again that he really was who he said he was. Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew tells us about an account that Jesus had with his disciples. One cold, dark night, they were out on the Sea of Galilee in their boat. And the Bible says that Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep. And while they were out on the water, a big storm arose, and the wind got boisterous and blew like crazy, and the water got rough. Sounds like one of my fishing days. The water got so rough, the disciples were in fear for their lives, and they woke him up and they said, Master, Master, save us. We're about to perish. And Jesus walked to the front of the boat, and he raised his hands, and he said, Peace, be still. And the wind went down, the sea became glass, and they were absolutely mesmerized. And they said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the waves and the wind obey him? Undoubtedly, God was in the boat. I'd like to read to you from John chapter 8, one of my favorite passages of Scripture having to do with this subject. John gives us an account in the eighth chapter of his gospel. The very last time Jesus ever spoke with the Pharisees, the last time he debated with them about the kingdom and the word of God. It's absolutely marvelous. Beginning with the 52nd verse, reading down through 59. And the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he shall taste no death, never taste of death. Surely, you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him. And I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You see, John is telling us in this episode with the disciples, he's referring back to a time when the prophet Moses was summoned to Mount Sinai by God. And God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and he said, Moses, I have selected you to deliver my children from slavery in Egypt. Go back to Egypt and deliver them. And Moses said to God, well, Lord, when I go back and see your people and they ask me who has sent you, what name shall I give them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Tell them, I am that sent me. I believe if I'd have been one of those Pharisees that day, that very instant, I would have bowed my knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lastly, I'd like to share with you today out of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, just an absolutely splendid passage of Scripture about Emmanuel, God with us. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 13 is actually a reference to Psalm 45 in the Old Testament. The writer says, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou shalt be loved righteousness and hath hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Who is he talking about? Of the Son, he says. Of the Son, he says. He's talking about Jesus. Thou, Lord, in the beginning did lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And they all will become old as a garment, and in a mantle thou wilt roll them up. As a garment they will also be changed, but thou art the same, and thy kingdom will not come to an end. But of which of the angels has he said, set at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, the word of God and the great prophecies of the great prophets and the ministry of Jesus himself prove to mankind and those of us that know him personally that he was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us.
Stand and give me your answers.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He's on earth, losing on Thank you.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Help me. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
Emmanuel, the God who is with us. It's an idea that's very distinct and unique to Christianity. Every other religion, every other creed or that you could find, it's all about getting to God. If I do enough good deeds, if I'm a good enough person, if I get enough gold stars on God's chart, then I can get to God. I can get close to God. Christianity is not that way. That's not what Emmanuel is about. Emmanuel is the God who came to us, the God who came down to our level. It's not a God who stood afar off feeling bad for us, but a God who came into our pain and our messy world. And he didn't just come to us. He became one of us. John tells us in his gospel at the very beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Message paraphrase says it this way: the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. God moved into the neighborhood. He came, became one of us, and moved in next door. And He lived our life. God Himself, as Pastor Bob was speaking, the God who created the universe, the God that was in control of the wind and the waves, that very God became a man. This is the one true God. He took on the pain, the sorrow, the needs of our bodies, so that He could save us and bring us hope. He emptied Himself. When God became God with us, He emptied Himself with His power, His majesty, His glory. He was born in a humble family in a small town, like a lot of us were. He made Himself a servant. Philippians chapter 2 says, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He lived life as a human. It means that He had scraped knees and He felt hunger and He felt pain. He went through everything that we go through. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. He's been through what we've been through. He's been tempted by the things that tempt us. He's been through the pains that we've been through. The writer of Hebrews tells us elsewhere that Jesus was made perfect through what He suffered. God didn't just observe human life and say, I feel really bad for how bad things are down there. Boy, I wish I could do something. He came to us, and He made Himself a servant. He entered into this messy world and lived with us. The prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about the Messiah, and he says he's going to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's not someone who grew up in a palace and never knew pain or never, you know, got everything he always wanted and all that. He's a man of sorrows. He knows what life is like. This is Emmanuel. This is the God that's with us. It's been said that some of the most comforting words in the English language are me too. When you're going through something this difficult, it's very comforting to hear someone else say, hey, I've been through that. I know what that's like. I've been there. Me too are powerful words. There's comfort in knowing that someone else has gone through the same thing that I've gone through. There's comfort in knowing that we are not alone in our suffering. One author has said, the cross is God putting on flesh and bone and saying, me too. And I would say, the cross began at the manger when God put on flesh and said, me too. I hurt. I'm living the life that you live, but without sin. The sufferings and sorrows of the God who is with us began when He became a baby and was born to Mary. We're not alone because God is with us. He's with us in our pain, with us in our hurt, with us in our disappointment, with us in our grief, with us in our suffering. He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Difficult one. God's easy to explain, but the us part a lot of times gets confusing. In John chapter 1 verses 10 through 12 says Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The Jews, God's chosen people, had rejected him. They knew from the prophecies, as Pastor Bob spoke about, they were to receive a Messiah. They were expecting it. They were waiting for it. And when he showed up, they didn't believe it. And so they rejected him. Matthew 12 goes on to tell us, it says, in Jesus' name, the Gentiles will hope. Who's the Gentiles, you ask? Well, anybody that's not a Jew. Are you a Jew? Is anybody in here Jewish? I'm not Jewish. I'd be considered a Gentile. So what this verse says is that I have hope in the Lord. The us is us. Now, John 3:16, we know, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that Jesus died once and for all for sin of man, for all. But not everyone will believe that message, will they? We know this from our personal lives, from our daily dealings with people. We know that there will be those, just like the Jews, that will not accept him. Salvation is for everyone, not just the Jews. The message is still there. The message is still of hope. It's still for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. It is for us. In Luke chapter 5, Levi, also known as Matthew, was given a big reception for Jesus in his house, basically a party. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors, of whom Matthew was one of them. And in today's terms, basically it's a bunch of IRS agents. We don't like the IRS. They didn't like tax collectors, okay? So you get the drift of some of the people that was there. It also says there was a bunch of other people that were reclining at the table with them, and the Pharisees and the scribes, basically the religious elect, the ones who thought they knew everything, began grumbling and complaining to Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners? And Jesus answered them and said, it is not those who are well that need a physician, but those who are sick. It's not the people who think they're good. It's not the ones who, in their eyes, are better than everyone else because, oh, they know this or they know that. It is the common person, Jesus says. It is the sick. And he goes, I have come to call, not to call the righteous, but I have called sinners to repentance. Salvation is available to all, no matter their race, their sins, or their social status. That is a tough one a lot of times for people to grasp, is they think, oh, my sins are too bad. I could never be forgiven. But what Jesus Christ did on that cross was dying for man's sin. Every sin, all my sins, all of your sins. It doesn't matter how bad they are, he died for them. There is forgiveness through him. You know, and it says in Romans 6:23, and a lot of us that have grown up in the church or are familiar with the church is familiar with this verse. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Pastor Bob mentioned, since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, sin has been prevalent in the world. We're born with a sin nature. We can't help it. We're not taught to lie. We're not taught to deceive. It comes naturally, and Satan is constantly attacking us. And because of that, the wages, basically what we earn, what we would earn for our sins, is death. But Jesus took our place on that cross. He did it for you and me. But you would say, well, okay, if he died for everyone, then that means everyone gets to go to heaven, right? That's what some religions would have you believe, as Pastor Josh mentioned. There is not many roads to heaven. There is one road. And Jesus said that in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16, going back to that, it says, whosoever believes in him. Well, Satan believes in Jesus, but that's not good enough. Belief here is like, okay, how many of you have ever flown in an airplane before? How many of you ever, you know, you don't have to raise your hands. How many of you have ever thought when you're in that plane, if this plane goes down, what am I going to do? I hope there's enough parachutes, right? Okay, I was in the airborne when I was in the military. I voluntarily jumped out of the plane, okay? I'm in one of them crazy guys, okay? I know some others in here too. I could believe that that parachute was going to work and was going to save me and get me safely to the ground. However, if I didn't trust it, put it on, and let it become the tool that it was, it did me no good. Such is believing in Jesus. It's more than just a belief. It's a trust. It's a hope and a relationship. It is trusting him to do what he promised us in his word to do. And that is to grant us eternal life, to forgive us of our sins no matter what they are. No matter how bad we think we are, Jesus can forgive us. John 12 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was given the commands from his Father to share with us. We have to take his words and believe them and trust in them and put them into our heart. And that gives us hope. How do we do that? Well, Romans 10 tells us, says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that's that trusting part, that you trust and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Emmanuel, God with us. The us are those who believe, who put their hope and trust in Jesus, and believe his words shall be granted everlasting life.
Thank you. I want to thank you, all those that provided the special music, including Amanda Swinson, who did the prelude music on the violin, and Madison Deal, who sang with Ashley Blaine. And you see the others in your bulletin as well. Tonight we looked at one Hebrew word, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I want you to leave this sanctuary knowing that God came to earth to be with you. If God is Emmanuel, and he is, there's three implications for it. I'll just make this real brief. It means that if he is God, and Pastor Bob showed that he was through scriptures, that's what Bible says, it means that you and I have to take off our limitations of him. And we need to let him be God in our life, acknowledging that he is the only way to heaven. And if he's God with, then think of all the things that Jesus did to be with us. And it ought to compel us to ask, what am I doing to be with him? It's good that you're here at a service tonight, but on a daily basis, what do you do to be with the God who came to walk with you and walk through life and walk in the pain and the turmoil of this world? I think our God would say, Jesus would say, get with me. Be with me. In fact, he did say that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take off our limitations. What are we doing to be with him? And I have a decision to make. I need to get serious about this God. I can't leave him in the manger. I have to look at the totality of his work, that when he went to the cross, he died for my sins. And I need to take him seriously, that if I place my faith in him, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. At the end of this service, you can come and you can see any of the men up here that spoke, or someone that you know that has a walk with Christ. And I would encourage you to get with them and to say, can you just help me? Because the truth is, we all one day needed someone to help us come to Christ. Someone taught us. Someone did. Take him seriously. Get with him. And make a personal decision to follow him. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We're going to close with one more song, and we're going to lift it to the rafters. But I do want to say this. If you're on Christmas Day and you don't have plans for Christmas lunch, there's several from the Concordia Wesleyan Church that are going to gather here. We're going to have about 45 or 50 people already here at noon tomorrow down in the basement of the church. If you don't want to be alone, or two or three or a family would just like to come and would rather share that with people, you are more than welcome to come and join us, and we will expect we'll be ready for you. There'll be a place at the table for you. Also, if you don't have a regular church home, 9:15 and 10:45 every Sunday morning, we are here, and we'd love to have you join with us in worship. There's also a place for you here. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the God who is God with us? Let's stand and sing Glory to God as we sing Angels We've Heard on High. Trust in him.
so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas, everyone.